Good morning, everyone. Welcome to day three, South by South Wait. Hopefully there's a few more people hovering out there that might hear some people talking and come in. We've got a fantastic author here this morning. I'd like you to welcome Eve Blossom. And she is going to be talking about her book, Material Change. So Eve is an architect, and she has founded several non-profit and social venture initiatives, and whilst traveling in Southeast Asia, had somewhat of an epiphany while visiting artisans there, and had the idea to combine their talents to drive social change. So Material Change is her journey of creating her company Lulu Artisans.
Lulan,
that's sorry.
Okay. No worries.
And it's a business that merges design and social change. Over to you, Eve.
Thank you. So, first of all, I want to thank the committed change makers in the room for coming today. We lost an hour of sleep last night. So, I wanted just to share with you today a journey. I started my career as an architect, and I moved to Vietnam in 1995 as an architect of buildings, but I left Vietnam as an architect of social change. While living in Hanoi and working there, I witnessed firsthand a transaction where a young girl was being sold by her father to a European man for sex, and she was 6 years old. I tried to intervene, I tried to make a difference, but I was unsuccessful in changing the outcome for that little girl. But what happened that night truly moved me, grabbed me, and wouldn't let me go. Later that night, I had a striking realization that human trafficking is a marketplace, and the commodity, unfortunately, is a person. And I could see clearly that human trafficking really is an economic market that needs to be addressed at the economic level. So I started to research human trafficking. I learned that prevention is key because the traumatizing effects are devastating. I learned that urban migration trends are also important in understanding how people fall prey, because when they move from the village to the city, they're actually at a very, very vulnerable juncture. I also learned that artisans are at risk of falling into human trafficking because they're paid below poverty levels. So as a designer, the best way that I can use my expertise and make a difference around this issue is to create a company that will create stable jobs for artisans. I have seen again and again and again that design can be a powerful tool for social change. So innovation is seeing a problem in a new way and using new models to solve them. We are at an extraordinary time right now where this is what is required of us. Innovation is all around us. It's in our culture consciousness, and it's bubbling up all around us, as you can see at these kinds of conferences. So since most of our systems are broken, whether it's healthcare or education or any of these systems that we know that are breaking down, we have to redesign everything. And that makes all of us designers, all of us. So this is design thinking and the social entrepreneurship movement, as I discuss in my book, Material Change. And actually, I have a copy. Sorry, I should have pulled it out. Here I go. I have a copy of it. So it's being sold at the bookstore. Material Change was written because the future of businesses and design is changing dramatically. And we illustrate in this book the people and the organizations that are part of this movement. I mean, these people are coming from everywhere and anywhere. You can be in a startup or you can be in a large organization. You could be from far, far away, or you're just in your own village, town, or city. This is what's happening. And there are millions of us doing this work already in the world. And I just feel fortunate enough to be at the right place at the right time to be part of such an amazing, exciting movement. And what I love about this movement is you're 21, you're 22, you're 24, you're 32, you're 42, you're 55. You're involved. And that's what's so exciting. So I want to talk about one thing about the book that examines the new ways of thinking that revolutionizing the business of design and the design of business at the core. And the one thing I wanted to show about the book is at the back of the book, what we have is infographics showing the model, open sourcing the model for you to copy, edit, alter, burn if you don't like it. I don't care. The whole point is it's supposed to be open source if it makes a difference for you. So it's really just there for you and the impact that we're making. So as a businesswoman, I know that underutilized, untapped resources is a great way to start a business. We're talking about talented, skilled, organized talent, right? So artisans are already skilled in artisan techniques for centuries, talented in unique skills, and organized in cooperatives. So in 2004, I started a for-profit social venture called Lulon Artisans, where we design and produce hand-woven fabrics. We work with over 650 weavers, dyers, and spinners in Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, Thailand, and in India. These are some of the countries with the worst rates of human trafficking. We work with all these artisans to prevent human trafficking, and we connect the artisans with multiple markets using design, contemporary aesthetics to reach new markets for them. So by increasing their incomes, we reduce the likelihood that they'll be in danger. So we create value by honoring values. We pay all our artisans fair trade wages. We educate their children. We pay housing stipends to the artisan families through our weaving centers. We use sources that are locally sourced that they've been using for centuries. We use low-impact dyes and natural dyes. We do not impose external methods on what they do. And by celebrating the amazing artisans and what they can do, we are creating a strong economic engine together. Okay. So I want to show you a video, and my publisher is here, so she's going to be so excited to see this. This video is a video I took when I took my book to Southeast Asia, and this is when the artisans are seeing themselves in a book for the first time in their whole lives and what it means to them. Oh, actually, this is a different video, but this is a video of the work that we do, and I'll show you the other video. This video shows you all the ways that we work with the artisans in dyeing, in the rinsing, the spinning. Weaving. Okay. So you'll have to wait for the next video. In the book, I talk about disruptive entrepreneurs. And we use the term to describe the people inside this movement. And the disruptive entrepreneurs are driven to redefine massive problems and motivate other people to do the same. We are provocateurs, challenging traditional business models with our insight and tenacity. We are what I would call not only disruptive entrepreneurs, but disruptive designers. So, containers of collaboration. Most people believe that they're building a company. I would argue today that you are not. I would argue that you are building a container of collaboration, a place where deep relationships and partnerships can flourish, where actually it's stronger and it becomes something of its own creation. And by this very nature of doing a company this way, as a collaborative container, you actually are creating an invitation. People show up, they validate the work, they spark new ideas, they remind us of the interconnection of all that is possible, of what we can do as collaborating together, of what we can do to make a big change around these incredibly important social causes. So when you start a company, it becomes bigger than what you think it's going to be. I thought I was starting a company about design, sustainable textiles, and prevention of human trafficking. I didn't know at the time that it would be about agriculture, water issues, and also land right issues. But it's all connected. It's about all of this. And you can't disconnect it. It all is connected in this big, big, big way. The one other point I want to make about this is you can go beyond just your company. You can go just beyond your container collaboration. That if you actually do this work in this way, you actually sharing and building it of so much further out through other individuals. And that's why it becomes much bigger than you think. So what we do at Lulon is we call them design sprouts. It's actually different cooperatives are teaching other cooperatives organically, and then actually you're growing contextually and culturally. So it's really lovely to watch. So now my publisher is going to be really happy to see this video. They're recognizing themselves in the book.
I think this book is the dog book that we sell.
So this is our manager of our this one weaving center. It's hard to hear what he's saying, but he was so overwhelmed at what it meant to him to be in the book or what it means for this information to get out in the world. He had never seen the book before.
They sell all everything and it is there in the book. It's a nice book.
That really gets me. You can scale many different ways, but I wanted to say the one thing is we don't have to scale inside our organizations. So how we scale is we micro-aggregate. We use additional cooperatives. We collaborate, so we partner with others. We decentralize our business model by using training centers in each country and having be locally managed and locally owned. We actually incubate our future partners because when Arzen comes to us with a new idea, we help them start it. And we mentor, which I think is the most important way for all of us to scale our work. Right? Isn't that what we're all doing? Is that we're teaching, we're open sourcing, and we're sharing. And this is the most important way. So, in closing, the thing is you set out on a mission, on a journey, and you have no idea where it's going to take you. And sometimes it takes you in very challenging places. So, in July of 2009, I was kidnapped by human traffickers. I think I'm going to have to read this. For more than 3.5 hours, several men violently interrogated me. They thought I was doing intervention work, but I was doing prevention work. There is a big difference. They thought I was trying to bring down their very profitable business. The story is in the book, so you can just buy the book. It is too difficult to tell. Human trafficking is escalating at an enormous rate. Globalization, international trade are all fueling it. It occurs everywhere in the world. It undermines all our lives and makes us all less safe. This up-close experience that I had recommitted me to my work. So I've decided that Lulon Artisans has to set its heights even higher. We are launching a whole new network called Weave, Weave Artisans, to reach further, farther, and deeper. The truth is, once you've had an experience like this, You can either let it stop you, or you can get pretty freaking bold and say, I'm going bigger, further, farther, faster with all of you. Because it's going to take all of us. So Weave is a design-centered, curated e-commerce site that we're connecting the buyers with the artisans, a novel way to purchase artisanal goods through a story. The mission of the company is really to have direct relationships where you actually get very close to the source and understand the supply chain. While creating very stable jobs and very stable communities, Weave's geographical reach is bigger than Lulon. We're going global. You name it, we're going to be there. South Africa, Mexico, Peru, we're going everywhere. And we're not only going to be textile fabrics now, we're going to be jewelry as well as recyclable items. So by telling this story this way on this platform, we're going to be able to give life to the products through a story so that you can actually really be part, the buyer gets to be part of the whole process. So we are launching this beta later this year, so feel free to go to the website. It's called weavebuilt.com. It's weavebuilt.com. Anyone interested in partnering, investing, or being involved in this in any way, whether with Weave or about human trafficking, if you have any ideas about how you want to use technology, because this is a great time for all of us to really partner around this cause. So I want to end with, we say all the time how passionate entrepreneurs are about their ideas. We're comfortable speaking about passion and business, but we now have to be comfortable speaking about love and compassion within business. Love and business combined with profitable, savvy business models can make a huge difference on our humanity and still be profitable. What I saw up close with those traffickers was a very efficient, profitable, savvy business. But they do not have love and compassion on their side. We can only win this struggle if we create businesses that have love and compassion at the center and create an economic options for people not to fall into human trafficking. I am more resolved than ever to do this work, to do material change. Thank you.